Lawmakers convene in Raleigh today as Republicans aim to make the most of their last days with a veto-proof majority. As you just heard, setting requirements for what qualifies as a valid voter ID will take a lot of their time. Last week, we spoke with Representative David Lewis, chairman of the Elections and Ethics Law Committee, about accepting student IDs. He acknowledged that form of ID wouldn't prevent non-citizens from voting.
That is a concern. We'll just have to work with universities, work with the students, and remind them that it is a felony to register improperly, which is what that would have been. So the Department of Transportation, the federal government, they have very easily understood standards in order for an ID to be issued. Whenever you vary from that list, you do open yourself up to the possibility that someone who wanted to find a loophole in the system would find it easier to do so. However, with the goal of everyone being able to fully exercise their right and everyone being able to access an ID if they do not have one, we are going to err, I believe, on the side of the voter.
Republican leaders of the General Assembly are now the targets of two lawsuits over the state's election maps. The latest one, brought by the state's Democratic Party, challenges the General Assembly map. Lewis calls the lawsuit absurd and says it's part of a national Democratic effort to use the courts because they can't win at the ballot box. As for the lawsuit over the state's congressional maps regarding partisan gerrymandering, you once famously said that the state's congressional map has 10 Republican-leaning districts because you couldn't draw a map with 11. The Democrats believe that's a smoking gun in their case as far as the congressional maps go and partisan gerrymandering. Do you regret saying that?
Politics was not the only criteria. Had politics been the only criteria, I believe it would have been possible to have drawn a map that have had 12 Republican-leaning districts. You know, that clip that is often played of mine is at the end of a two-week process, what normally takes 6 months. And what I was saying was you could not have drawn more than 10 Republican-leaning seats and followed all of the criteria. Politics was a criteria, one of the criteria, because you cannot take politics out of a inherently political process. I do not believe in any way, shape, or form that the Democratic Party is unorganized or unwise. And the amount of money and the amount of effort that they spent trying to win seats that are currently held by Republicans, including the 9th District, the 2nd District, and the 13th District, if they didn't think they had a shot to win those, they wouldn't have competed in them as hard as they did. And in fact, they came pretty close. So I believe that our districts are drawn fairly. I believe everybody has a full and equal opportunity to participate. And I believe that the lawsuit is bogus. I am looking forward to the U.S. Supreme Court reviewing this case and recognizing those facts.
So what purpose does redistricting, drawing very heavily on looking at how many districts one party can win, what purpose does that serve?
I don't know that it serves a purpose. Again, as I said, what I tell my voters, and I face them every 2 years, is that I'm going to follow the law. The law requires me to draw districts that have equal population. It requires me to respect things like county orders and municipal orders. It requires me to try to keep precincts whole because that makes election administration easier. But the bottom line is, at some point in the process, a line is going to have to be drawn here or there. And I'm just honest enough with my constituents to tell them that when it gets to that point, that I will apply a partisan lens at which way the line should be drawn. At no time has politics been the dominant factor in the drawing of our maps, which is what the plaintiffs continue to accuse us of.
That's Representative David Lewis, chairman of the Elections and Ethics Law Committee. Tomorrow, we'll have an interview with House Minority Leader Darren Jackson on how he sees dynamics changing after Republicans lose their supermajority in January.